This morning, we're looking at the theme of family. Now, for those of you who weren't around a couple of Sundays, our first time back here together, Mamie and I talked about what Jesus has put on our hearts over the last year and a half, and on the hearts of the leadership team. You know, as we begin to meet again in person, these are things that we're just identifying are of real value and importance to us as we move forward in this next chapter for us here in Shipley. So these three values, just to remind you, are family, discipleship, and mission. And over the next couple of months, and our times together when we're here at Northcliffe every other Sunday, we're just going to unpack these three values a little bit more. What we also mentioned a few weeks ago is we're going to be doing things a little bit differently. So we're going to be trying some different ways of doing our times of worship and our times of teaching and our times all together on Sundays. And this morning is going to be no different. So to do that this morning, what I need us to do, everyone's looking very nervous, what I need us to do is to get into groups of kind of three or four. So we might need to move our chairs around, but now is a good moment just to look around at people next to you, maybe turn your chairs around and get in kind of groups of three, four, five, something like that. Maybe just take a minute to say hello to each other, and I'm sure parents will come and rejoin us as well. So just look out for them when they come back up the stairs to gather to your group too. Wonderful. So if you can just keep an eye out for parents that re-emerge up the stairs and just welcome them into your group and just make sure they know they've got a seat next to you, that'll be really helpful. So as I said, we're focusing on the value of family this morning. Now by that I don't mean families, but actually this. Look around you. This is what we mean by family, our spiritual family that God has called each one of us to. Now, before we jump into this morning's passage, I just want to acknowledge that even though there aren't many of us this morning, each of us will have a different reaction and different response to that word family. Because each of us will have differing experiences of what being part of or not part of your own biological family means to you. Now, I know some of us well enough that the word family will conjure up kind of cozy, warm, happy memories of kind of supportive parents and siblings. But I also know some of us well enough that for others, it will be a painful word, one that brings up feelings of rejection, being let down, maybe an absence of family figures in your life. But what is really clear is that families are a foundational part of God's bigger story. You know, the Bible begins in Genesis, not with tribes or nations, but with a family. However, what I find so reassuring is that in God's word, we don't just get this kind of fluffy, presented, social media, happy families picture. You know, we've all done it, or we've all seen it anyway. But no, instead, we get the nitty-gritty, the real, the raw picture of what families look like. You know, if you're looking for a snapshot of well-adjusted, happily parent-children relationships, I suggest not looking to the Bible. Just think of Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac. Let's think of Jacob and Esau and dishonesty and greed. Or even the recent series we did on Joseph and his brothers, and you hear betrayal and jealousy and hatred. The list goes on and on and on. But what is really clear is that we are living in a world that is lonely. It's desperate for relationships and meaningful friendships. I just pulled up a couple of stats. In 2019, 2.9 million, so that's about 15% of the families in the UK, were lone parent families. Also, the number of people living alone has increased by a fifth over the last 20 years, from 6.8 million to 8.2 million. Now, I mention these right at the start, just because as we look at family, the impact that will have is on us as a church family, our relationships with each other, but also as we display his love to those around us. It's just good to be aware, isn't it? We're in a world that is hungry for relationship and is lonely at times. And we know that God's family is and should be attractive to the world around us. John 3, 34 to 35 says this, "A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So, you've probably got it. This morning, we're looking at family, and we're looking at what Jesus says and reveals to us about what it means to be part of his family. Now, I thought Joy and the team did a wonderful job of dramatizing our story this morning, but I'm just going to read it one more time. And if at this point you want to get your Bibles out or get it up on your phone. So we're looking at Mark 3, verses 20 to 35. So you find that in the New Testament. And this is what it says. "Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, 'He is out of his mind.' And the teachers of the law, who came down from Jerusalem, said, 'He is possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons.' So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. 'How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly, I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, and they are guilty of an eternal sin.' He said this because they were saying, 'He is an impure spirit.' Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, 'Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you.' 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother.'" So, as I said at the beginning, we are going to do things a little bit differently this morning. So what I'm going to encourage you to do, you've seen the dramatization, we've just read it together, is we're going to have a go at just retelling this story to each other in our groups. Now, I don't want us to get hung up or worried about getting everything theologically accurate. I'm not looking for a perfect doctrinal hermeneutical exegesis of the passage this morning. Just the facts of what we've read and what we've heard. You know, think about who's there. Where are they? What do we know has happened? What do we know has been said? So really, just tell a story to each other of what you've heard. Now, we've probably only got time for maybe one or two people in your group to do that, but I just really encourage you to give that a go over the next few minutes, just to retell what we've seen and what we've heard this morning. Is that right? So, turn to those in your group. Maybe someone who's feeling brave and ready to give it a go, and we've just got a few minutes to retell that story to each other, and then we'll come back. Great. So I know I haven't given you very long, but I just wonder how you found doing that, how you found retelling that story. How did it go? Did you find it easy? Did you find it hard? Did you find it surprising? Is that something anyone has ever done before? Well, I've done this a few times recently, and I just found it really fascinating and a really helpful thing, because I so often can sit there and allow God's word just to kind of go over my head. I'm sat there thinking about what I've had for breakfast. I'm thinking about, well, normally where the boys are. and it's just, I find it so helpful to retell that story and just to keep digesting it as part of coming to God's word. So I wonder if anyone is feeling even more brave than sharing to their group, could just give us a very quick couple of minutes summary of your retelling of that story. Anyone feeling confident or brave? If not, I'm going to pick on Mark. Is that right, Mark? I did pre-warn Mark this might happen. Only about 10 minutes ago. Thanks, Mark.
I'm not going to cheat. Okay, so Jesus is in a house, and his disciples are there, and then this crowd turns up, and Jesus is having to teach, is wanting to teach them, and to the point where they can't even break for lunch, they can't reach their picnic, which is still over there, so you probably could reach it now. And so some of his actual family turn up, and they're confused and a bit perplexed about what he's doing, and I think they say he's out of his mind. I think there were some Pharisees there, and they say this guy is speaking through like an unclean spirit, and Jesus then tells some parables to explain how that can't be the case. And then at the end, his family are saying, right, you've got to come home now. And Jesus says, who is my family? Who's my mother and brother and sisters? They are the ones that are doing the will of God. I think that is it.
What a Mark. I was about to say the gospel according to Mark, but that already exists. So that's good. Thank you, Mark. So, what does this passage, what does this story show us about who Jesus is and what he is like? Well, I think it shows us that Jesus has radical love and inclusivity. And this is the main thing I just want to share with you this morning. Radical love and inclusivity. So why do I think it's radical? Well, in the culture of the time, family meant everything. Now, I'm aware it might mean a lot of things for us, but at the time, it meant everything. In ancient Israel, family defined a person's entire identity. You know, their financial security, their protection, their status, their honour, even their family business will have depended on a family's reputation. It meant everything. So when Jesus' mother and brothers call for him, everyone in the crowd will have been expecting Jesus to drop everything, to head out of the house and meet with his family. But as we've read, as we've seen, and as Mark's retold to us, he doesn't. Now, at this point, I don't think Jesus is disowning his family. In fact, we know later on the cross, as Jesus is dying and pouring out his life for our sins, that he's also making sure that his mother is looked after, if you think back to that moment on the cross. I also don't think he's teaching us that our families don't matter. Instead, he's doing two things. Firstly, he's showing us that the only relationship that matters more than anything else is our relationship with the Father. The only relationship that counts and will last forever is your relationship with the Father. Jesus makes it pretty clear. Whoever does the will of God is my brother or sister. You know, your position in life doesn't matter in the long run. Your family, your occupation, a perfect home, an education, social standing, they may feel like a big deal now. But actually, in the bigger picture of life, they will offer no advantage in the life to come. But what does count is being a child of God in relationship with the Father. You know, he's coming back to what the culture and society were saying there and saying, your family no longer defines you. It's no longer formed your identity, but being part of my family will. And secondly, he's expanding our concept and our understanding of those we should care about and love. You know, the love and loyalty shown to our biological family, Jesus is saying it is now due to one another in this new extended spiritual family. Think of everything it takes for a biological family to stay together. The number of acts of service that are required, all the forgiveness and grace that must constantly be extended, all the times when one person's desires have to be lovingly laid aside for the desires of others. And here, Jesus is saying, it's just as true, just as needed in this new spiritual family. Now, Jesus is speaking to a deeply embedded cultural norms and assumptions by declaring his true family is not determined by blood relations and DNA. You know, the norm in society today is kind of look out for your own. I heard that phrase, blood is thicker than water, or charity starts at home. But actually here, Jesus is inviting us into something so much bigger. Something of that love and care and love towards each other, regardless of where they're from, what background they have, or whether society says they're to be honoured or not. So that's why I think it's radical. And also, it is inclusive. You might not have picked this up, but what does Jesus say to those who are sat around him? He says, you are my mother and brothers. And it's a little phrase, but just the fact that women were there, present with Jesus, sat at his feet, tells us so much about Jesus' inclusivity. You know, in that culture, again, to be sat at the seat, sat at the feet of a disciple, to be sat at the seat of a rabbi was to be called a disciple. And actually, learning in that culture was pretty exclusively for men. But here we see God's family pushing the boundaries of acceptance and welcoming in the excluded. You know, Jesus doesn't just look to the righteous to be part of his family. He's not just hanging out with a like-minded. No. Time and time again, through the Gospels, we see him sat with the sinners, sat with the condemned, the sick, the hurting, the broken, prostitutes, tax collectors. They were all invited in and included. To Jesus, it didn't matter what they'd done, or who they were, or who others said they were. Jesus made it pretty clear. The only requirement that he looks for is that whoever is doing the will of God is my brother or sister. I just wonder what it would look like for us, for me and for you, if we were that radically loving and inclusive as Jesus shows us in this story. To be looking beyond ourselves and our family and our home and loving others in such a radical way that the world would stop and take notice. And what I find about Jesus is he always stands before us as the image of unity, wholeness, and this inclusivity. He is the stronger one. You know, he does for us what we cannot do for ourselves and offers to us a different image of what life might look like. So what I want us to do, as you're mulling that over, is just to go back into our groups and just think about what we've read, what we've heard this morning. Think about Jesus' radical love and inclusivity. I just want to ask you this question. What stood out, and what are you going to do in response to that this week? And I'd really encourage you to make that something really specific. You want to just take a moment before you get back into your groups and just ask Jesus, what is it you are asking of me in response this morning? Because we know God's word is active and true. It is there for us to not only hear, but to do as well. And it could be something really small. It could be something that others might think is insignificant, but to you, it's a step in obedience to what we've heard this morning. Maybe it's, I'm going to have this person around for tea this week. Isn't it great that we can do that again? Or maybe it's, actually, I know I need to go and forgive that person who is part of my family. Or maybe it's just, I want to tell and remind someone how radically loved they are by the Father. Or maybe it's over tea and coffee a little bit later on that you just want to go and chat to someone you wouldn't normally chat to. Ask how they're doing and ask how you can be praying for them this week. Or maybe it's someone in your workplace or on your street, someone who doesn't know Jesus yet, and you just think, actually, I want to do something that shows them that radical love this week. So have a little think. We're just going to take a moment, and then we're going to get back in our groups and just share that with each other. And then we'll take it from there.